name, sir?
My name is Rafael Marcelino Hernandez.
Okay, hold on one moment. The Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson is going to serve as a lead for the hearing at this time, sir. So just hold on.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you this afternoon?
I'm all right. How's it going?
We're doing good, sir. So you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I want to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. But before I do that, would you please state your full name and your ADC number for us for the record?
My name is Rafael Marcelino Hernandez, 111454.
Okay, sir. Conducting your hearing this morning, to my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I am going to be acting as your hearing lead this morning, okay? This afternoon. Mr. Hernandez, I'm going to go over some information with you, some information that we have on file. As I go through this information, if there's anything that needs to be corrected, please feel free to do so as we go about this, sir. I do want to inform you and acknowledge to you that you do have several supporters here. I believe I see it's your sister, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister-in-law, and your wife is all here in support of you here today. So as we get started, I wanted to let you know that they are all here, okay?
Okay, thank you.
So, sir, you're appearing before this board for an absolute discharge, home arrest, or regular parole. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. You're currently serving a life sentence for murder in the first degree. You became parole, it doesn't really say your parole eligibility date on this form here, so. March 11th of 2019. So you'll become parole eligible on March 11th of 2019. According to the institutional progress report here that we have here on file, sir, says that for your release plan, your number one option would be to stay with your wife, Jennifer Hernandez, 827 West Hawaii in Tucson. Your second option would be with Robert and Gloria Hernandez, who are your parents, who also stay in Tucson, and that you have some employment waiting for you at 1880 Electrical, starting pay at $23 an hour, working a minimum of 40 hours a week, sir. Is that your understanding?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. Looks like you have taken some programming since you've been incarcerated, conflict resolution. Did you obtain your GED while you've been incarcerated, sir?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Construction technology, is there some other classes that you've taken?
Yeah, I've also completed college courses in horticulture. I've done some self-help programs also. I've sent certificates.
Okay. So, sir, I see that you have received some tickets. Also, you had in March a positive or refusal, which you was found guilty, which was a major. What was that about, March of 17?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was a refusal. They had me down for a refusal to produce a UA.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what they wrote me up for. Okay, well, basically, I tried to produce, but the officer told me my time was up, so that concluded my time frame to produce.
So you doing drugs while you were incarcerated, sir?
I have smoked marijuana, yes, I have.
Uh-huh. I'm looking at some of the notes that we have here on file. It looks like in February of 17, it says that you had 2 hours to produce a UA sample. You were given 8 ounces of water, After the 2 hour time limit, it says that you refuse or fail to produce a UA sample. That was February 8th of 2017. Then here's another one that looks like September 14th or back in 2016. Said that they observed you placing your left thumb inside the UA cup. It made Hernandez had a soaking wet hand aid on his thumb, and then he placed his thumb inside the cup. Observed that he put pressure on the hand aid, releasing a considerable amount of clean water into the UA cup. So they took the cup from you, and then they noticed that the UA cup was reading the water and giving out results without any urine inside of it, sir. So basically, looking at some of this that I'm looking at one point, sir, did you have a drug problem while you were incarcerated?
Every now and then, I would smoke marijuana. But a problem,
okay. I'm going over your Ames test, over your Ames record, sir. It looks like that you're about 40 years old right now, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So did you belong to a STG while you've been incarcerated?
No, sir. I never belonged to an STG group.
Okay. Did you just have some contacts with them, or? What is it? I see there's a lot of information on here about STG.
Yes, sir. They have me down associated with an STG group. They did, yes.
Okay. Which STG group was it, sir?
They have me associated with the Mexican Mafia.
Uh-huh. And what are the Serenos from Southern California?
Yes, that is a group out of Southern California. I'm assuming Serenos, yes.
Uh-huh. So, other than those two refusals that you had, positive or refusal you had in 17 and then 16. This incident that you actually are incarcerated, sir, is something that happened back in March of 1994. You were a juvenile, four adults and four juveniles. Were you a juvenile or an adult at the time that happened?
No, I had just turned 15 years old.
Okay. It says that you guys had obtained some marijuana, and then you went to the grocery store and doing some drinking. It says that the victim was a 30-year-old man who drove into the grocery store parking lot at about 11 o'clock at night. He was dressed in sweatpants and a robe and slippers. He was ill, and he was going through cancer treatment at the time. It says that you guys decided to rob him. You and another defendant, Luis, went up to him. You pointed a gun at the victim and asked him for his car keys. The victim refused to give you the keys and began to walk into the store. Then the other defendant, Mendez, drew a 9mm pistol and shot the victim three times, once in the back, once in the shoulder, and once in the buttocks. Is that about what happened, sir, during that period of time? Did you call?
Somewhat, yes.
Okay, so
somewhat, yes. I would say it went down somewhat like that.
All right, well, Mr. Hernandez, why don't you tell this board what was going on with you at that time? How did that occur? What happened? You said you were 15 years old. What was going on?
I was 15 years old. I wasn't even supposed to be out late at night. I was already out against my parents' wishes. I went to that store because a friend had worked there, and we were waiting for him to get off of work. He was supposed to get off of work 30 minutes, so we were waiting for him to get off of work. We're waiting in the parking lot. I was sitting in a car with friends. I got outside of the car. I'm standing in the parking lot now, outside of the car, where other individuals I was with were inside of the car. I'm outside of the car. I walked towards the store entrance. I didn't know Luis Mendez was behind me at the time until I started seeing him make contact with Mr. Hunter. and then I had to stop. Then their confrontation happened. Ms. Hunter got shot. I left into the car with the individual I was with.
So, when you say a confrontation took place, what do you mean? What happened?
I was too far away from them to hear exactly what was being said or what was going on. I could just tell by their mannerisms that a conversation was going on. Couldn't really hear or I didn't really see the actual shooting. It happened more behind my back. Mm.
So did you have a gun, sir?
Yes, I did.
Did you ask Mr. Hunter for his car keys first?
No, I didn't ask Mr. Hunter. I never spoke a word to Mr. Hunter.
What did you do? Did you see him or what happened? What were you going into the store for?
I was going back into the store to see if my friend was getting off of work yet. As I was going into the store, the reason I had the gun on me, when I was in the parking lot, two of my individuals I was with were arguing over the gun. That's how I obtained the gun. I had it in my waistband, and I was leaving to get away from them because they were arguing by the car. So I was walking into the store to get away from them. I didn't know Mr. Mendez was behind me. As I was walking into the store, Mr. Mendez, I see him throw it over here to Mr. Hunter. And that's when I get the confrontation of cures. Mr. Hunter turns towards me. I look, I see him. I don't know what Mr. Hunter or what they're arguing about. I just noticed Mr. Hunter turns towards me and shooting happened. And that was how it happened that night.
So what did you do after the shooting happened, sir?
I ran, jumped back in the car, and left that night.
Uh-huh. You didn't ask them what happened or anything?
Ask who, sir?
The other gentleman in the car.
No, sir, I didn't ask nobody anything. I just got in the car and I stood quiet. I didn't see Mr. Hunter get shot. I just heard the shots. I jumped in the car and everybody was leaving. We left.
So, Mr. Hernandez, tell me why you feel as though this board should grant you some type of parole.
I have an opportunity ahead of me. I have a tremendous support system. I have a place to go home to. I have a job waiting for me. I've obtained abilities in this prison since I've been in here. I try to advance my knowledge. I try to program myself to the best of my abilities to whatever's been provided for me. I try to take any classes, any self-help groups. I have everything going for me, nothing to lose.
Okay, let me ask you another question in another way then, sir. Can you tell me or this board what you learned out of that situation? You were running with a group of guys, and the end result of you running around with these guys, whether you make a decision on your own or not, is that you wind up spending all this time in prison.
Yes, sir, I did do that. It's something like, I can't wait to help kids that were in my situation. Peer pressure, trying to live up to wrong individuals. So when I do get out, I would like to go to facilities or anything, as I had mentioned before, I believe, and try to help these kids. Kids that have no, guidance. It's really hard for me to stay in the guidance, because, I mean, I've had my family this whole time. They guide me. They were always supporting me. We've always been through Little League, baseball, everything. Classes always pointing me in the right direction. It was just, I had no friends. I didn't know anybody out here. I just moved out here to Arizona. I didn't know anybody, I didn't know nothing, and I started hanging around with the wrong individuals, but I just can't wait to be able to have a chance to talk to the youth of communities and let them know, that it's not the route to go, it's not a time to waste your life away, they have everything ahead of you.
So Mr. Hernandez, what I'd like to know, I'd like to know what personal effect for you personal, not what you can do for other people, but you personally, what is it that you learned out of about being able to make your own decision and not hang around with the wrong guys? What is it that if you were out that you would never make that type of decision to hang around that crowd or be involved or participate in any violent or negative behavior? Did you learn anything from that, sir?
Well, of course, and I would never put myself in them positions ever again. You grow out of that, you mature away from those type of individuals, you can read out of those people's and type of people. That's like you can go back to, you were mentioning some type of SPG they have you associated with, away from them type of people and personalities. And for doing so, for refusing to partake in the prison politics around here, I got punished for it in prison for it.
So did you ever do a step down, sir?
No, sir. I was never SPG validated.
Okay. So when you say you got in trouble, what do you mean?
Well, for refusing to partake in the prison politics, you know, they stabbed me. I got stabbed because I didn't want to partake in... I matured. I wanted to... That was not my lifestyle. It's not who I am. It's not what I ever wanted for myself or my life. It's just... prison is just hard to live when you're, especially when you're a young kid, you're doing a life sentence.
Yeah.
It's not a place or a world that I ever wanted to live in.
All right, so I'm going to see if the board has any questions for you. Some more additional questions coming from the board. So you do have several supporters here. Is everyone going to speak or who all wants to speak? Okay, I'm going to let you pick the order that you want to come up and speak in. When you come up and speak, just please come up to the mic, state your full name, and then begin to speak. And then if, before you leave, we'll see if the board has any additional questions for you, okay?
First of all, good afternoon, members of the board. Thanks for giving me time to speak. I have to write down some things because I don't want to forget.
Okay, sir, I need you to state your name.
My name is Robert Hernandez.
Okay.
I'm the father of Rafael Marcelo Hernandez. First of all, I'd like to say that I don't envy your guys' job. Not one bit. I can understand your apprehension as far as making decisions on parole based on the fact that you got to make the right decision. I know it's not an easy job. Now everybody can't see it. Basically, what transpired is I got a job offer in Arizona. My son Ralph had just witnessed a drive-by. We were living in the way of California, but it was a very quiet neighborhood. And the kids started growing up, and as they grew up, they started with gangs and stuff. So when that opportunity came, I picked up my family and we moved. At times I regretted it because of what happened. I look back on that, and I try to make sense of it. My son wasn't brought up that way. But uprooting him from the lifestyle of his kids, friends, always hanging out at the house, they all played ball together. When he moved away, he had no friends. It's a very hard thing to do with a teenager at 14. So when he came out to Tucson, he had nobody to hang around with. But there was a bunch of transplants from California. The wrong kind of transplants. But those are the only people he befriended because those are the only people he can actually, that had something in common. They were all from California. Unbeknownst to us, we did not know what type of people they were. We found out later on the hard way. And we talked, my son and I talked about what transpired with Mr. Hunter's life. And we acknowledged that he had to pay a price for this because of his, I would say, because he was hanging with these people. Things happened. He understood, yes, I understand that, I should have listened to you before, but I didn't. And I understand I have to pay a price. He was not the perpetrator, I don't know if I could live with that. My wife could, but, you know, it's just, you raise a kid right, and something like this happens, they're easily persuaded, but that's not an excuse. He's been 25 years. And, you know, I was just like, I'd like to have him home, yeah, but so would the family of the people that lost Mr. Hunter. My only thing that is, I'm glad it wasn't my son that did the shooting. We're a very close-knit family. I try to raise my kids the right way. I got my younger son and my son-in-law, they're my business partners. As a matter of fact, we're on our way to Long Beach, California today. We have a 2-week outage, we work at power plants. One of the world's largest generation company hires our company to do testing for them. That's where we're on our way to. That's why I want to get him involved in, so he can start a new lifestyle. He has something to look forward to, a profession, a career. So he's not falling back, because people, when they get out of parole, they got no place to go, they got no support, they got no jobs, they got nothing to look forward to. We have based our company, H&H Electrical, as our family-owned business. My daughter does our accounting. My wife helps out around the shop. And I want to get Ralph involved in that. If you guys grant parole, he needs a fresh start and something that's got some kind of foundation in it already. I'm not just trying to say that this is easy for you guys to make a determination or grant parole. I know it's not an easy task. But when you base this on other parolees, what do they have to look forward to? I don't know. I can't speak for them. I can only speak for my son and what we can provide him. A new lifestyle. I'm sure he's learned his lesson. There's a lot of things that happen in prison and make certain decisions. There's just no way around it. But I can't speak for him on that. I can only tell you what he's got when he gets home. A good support base. He's seen a lot of things happen, or heard about a lot of things that happened. His grandmother dying, his grandfather dying, his brother dying. It's not easy. But neither does it make, you know, his life is in your hands. And I just hopefully that you make a decision that'll alter his lifestyle and be more positive. Role model for people and be a better citizen. That's all I have to say.
All right, and Mr. Hernandez, I just got one question for you, because I do understand that you do have some plans and some things for your son to do, but and this is just a statement more or less to you, but if he was released and he was given home arrest, home arrest is still like you're still a prisoner. You're just on home arrest, very restrictive. They have to follow a program. They can't go. They can't do a lot of things, you know, that you know, you may want them to do or get out and do. I just wondering, you know, would you be able to assist them with that or maintain? Because home arrest is really restrictive.
We can assist them on anything that you can do for them.
Okay.
There's a lot of positives. There's things that you can do, you know, it's just take that first step, whatever it may be, parole, house arrest. I'm sure it won't be indefinite. How would you be able to let somebody free and still have them locked up in their home? I know it's not going to be an indefinite thing. There's got to be some kind of progress along with that.
You're right.
To actually correct a situation.
You're right.
He has to start building a foundation for himself, something in a more positive for the community, for himself, for his family. It's just something that there's steps.
Okay.
It's just something that has to take place. We've all done that. You know, I went to night school, left my family at night. I had to take steps to better ourselves and my family. We've all done that. There's a lot of challenges, no matter what they are.
Okay, thanks, sir. Mr. DeBoer, have any additional questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Bernadette Hernandez, Raphael's younger sister, my brother. You know, we just want to let you all know that my brother has all the support, you know, from the entire family. Like my father said, we are a very close-knit family. We do a lot of things together, a lot of family functions, family gatherings, cookouts. When my brother was just a kid, when he was convicted, you know, me, myself, having kids and my kids getting older, I could never imagine having to deal with something that my brother and parents had to deal with. He's basically had to, you know, grow up in jail, being a young kid. But he has all the guidance and all the support from all of us, you know, for him to be a productive member of society, if granted parole. He's accomplished a lot throughout the years of being incarcerated. He's had a lot of certificates, diplomas, you know, he got his GED. He's had many jobs. He's stayed busy. He's a very intelligent man. I do look up to him. You know, being even where he is, I do look up to him. He's very smart. You know, he's taught himself another language. And I just hope that you guys allow him to come home to be with his family. Thank you.
Thank you, boy, any questions? Thank you.
My name is Crystal Huerta, and I am Rafael's sister-in-law. I came into the Hernandez family about 19 years ago. I didn't only fall in love with Raymond. We have three beautiful children, but I fell in love with their entire family. The upbringing was the same as mine. They have values and morals and respect, and I know that's how they raised all of their children. I just believe that Rafael was just with the wrong people at the wrong time. He was a youth, and we all make mistakes, and we just eventually just have to learn and grow from those mistakes. I see the pain in the family. We just would like you all to please open your hearts and just be empathetic, and hopefully we can have Ralph home. Okay. Thank you.
Boy, have any questions? Thank you.
Raymond Hernandez. Ralph's younger brother. It's kind of hard to talk. It's brief. He's got all the support.
What are the questions?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
name's Jennifer Hernandez. I am Rafael's wife. It's kind of hard to go after everybody else and not repeat what has been said before. When I found out about Rob being incarcerated and what he was in there for, I was angry at the justice system. I don't mean like it wasn't fair. I worked as a corrections officer, so I've seen both ends of the spectrum. He's practically grown up in prison. He's 15 years old when he was in there. Left unattended, didn't know what to do, where to get help or anything. I'm pretty proud of him because he went to school, got his GED, took advantage of every class that they offered to better himself. He stepped up to the plate with my kids and wanted to be a father to them when their own dad wanted nothing to do with them. He's been there for them and told them the same thing, you know, like, careful who your friends are, you think your friends are, because nobody he was hanging around with that night is around anymore. And we just want him home. Just want him home with our family. He has grandkids. He's got a job. He's got great support system. Anything that he needs help with, we would all be there to help him with, whatever the case may be. I just wish that he could be home.
Ms. Hernandez, you worked with DOC and you had known him for a long time, and you ran into him again when he was incarcerated?
Yes, sir.
And then I believe, according to your letter, you wind up leaving the Department of Corrections so that you guys could get married?
Yes, sir.
And so how long have you guys been married?
In May, we'll have been married for 8 years.
Okay. And so, and I'm just asking, this is just something on for me. I mean, you worked at DOC, so you've seen a lot, you know how that goes. So what do you think Mr. Hernandez has learned out of this deal? I know you just commented about him being incarcerated and being there all on his own at 15 years old.
He took it really hard. And it took a while for him to open up to me completely, because, like I said, I've seen it from both sides. I've seen what they have to go through. I've seen the politics. I've seen, you know, that they have to do things in order to survive. They need to be ready to do anything because their life depends on it. And him staying away from all of that and trying to be the better person and not get involved in that got him stabbed, and I mean, it just kills me, because I'm not excusing the fact that Mr. Hunter lost his life, and I know that they won't get him back, but Rob lost his life that day too, and he never had anything else to look forward to being in there, but he has family, he's got grandkids, he was doing stuff to better himself, to be a better person. He's accepted his punishment. And, you know, finally got over the, you know, I shouldn't be here, and finally accepted the fact that, like his dad said, you know, there has to be some kind of punishment for what he did. But I truly believe that he's a better person. I truly believe that he has been rehabilitated, and if you guys would allow for him to come home, he has so many ideas that he wants to do, and he wants to help kids, and he wants so that they don't end up like him.
Okay, thank you. Board Avenue, Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Now, just real quick, especially because you worked inside the Department of Corrections, and I want to begin by saying that I think Mr. Hernandez showed a lot of promise. My concern is that he's had discipline within the last 2 years, just about 2 years. So how do you feel about that? Because with him getting so close to eligibility, and he came in so young, I see all the angles here. I really am looking at the whole. But it's not the only factor that I'm aware of, but How do you feel about that? Knowing the system.
Well, I, speaking from my experience, I mean, I can't sit here and badmouth everybody, but the department, and I'm not saying it because he's my husband, it has nothing to do with that.
I'm trying to be careful on that issue too.
Yes, because I kind of think that they couldn't get him on anything else, so they tried to just write him up on what they could. I'm not going to say he's perfect, I'm not going to say that he's an angel, but being in there for 25 years from the age of 15, you can't tell me you find anybody that wouldn't have any type of disciplinary, especially with the stuff that he had to go through in order to survive on the yard.
Well, I'll tell you honestly, it's not any discipline, it's recent discipline. Although, I want to give you credit for this, it happened 2 years, and that's meaningful to me. But we do see people that really start thinking about their future, that there's a good long space in there where they really seem to work hard to stay ticket free. I know it's not always possible for everyone.
And he's trying to stay out of trouble. You know, when it was first brought to his attention that he would be able to go up for the parole board, they even told him, you know, you might want to wait a little bit or kind of get some time in there. But I think just the possibility that he could come home and just the excitement, I think, from that, or just that small little bit of hope that he could be reunited with us, I think he was just like ready to go for it, even though he knew that he had those write-ups within the last couple of years.
Well, I appreciate your input, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else that's going to speak? Mr. Hernandez, we're coming up on the conclusion of your hearing, sir. I'm looking at your Ames report, and I'm going to ask you something, sir, and I'm going to think. I want you to think about this real serious before you just answer, because I asked you this earlier, and you told me you didn't have a drug problem, that you smoked marijuana, but the entire time that you've been in there, you had these refusals and to go in there, and there's many times when someone goes in without a drug problem, and once they're in there, they pick up a drug problem. And part of the issue, sir, it sounds like you got a great family that's, you know, not to say what this boy's going to do, but you got a great family that's trying to support you and want to support you and be with you. But I tell you, sir, if you have a drug problem and you're not honest about it to help yourself, then you're going to wind up back in trouble. And I think that the only way that your family can really help is that you have to be honest. So I'm just going to ask you again, because of these refusals, and you know, it may explain some of the most recent refusals that you have. So I'm going to ask you again, sir, did you get a drug problem since you've been in prison?
Sir, I smoke marijuana. Mm-hmm. I don't do it every day. I have not smoked it in years now, but it's not a problem that I can stop it on, that is not a problem whatsoever, and I have stopped.
So have you used it?
Something I'm not choosing to jeopardize. And I have already looked into Mr. Doug Ducey's programs that he has implemented that he has in Pima County. Uh-huh. And I will utilize that to the best of my abilities.
All right, so let me see if the board has any questions for you. Mr. Kenyon.
Just a quick follow-up. Mr. Hernandez, are you saying that marijuana is the only drug that you used inside the Department of Corrections? And we recognize that there's drugs that are available inside prison, so I'm not playing games with you. But
yeah.
Are you saying that's the only type of drug you've used inside DOC?
No, sir, it is not.
Were the harder drugs earlier, or?
Yes, they were earlier. I don't try not to do none of that stuff. It's like more. It's disgusting to see that.
So, how long has it been since you used hard drugs inside DOC? I'm not asking for the exact day. I'm just saying, like, how long?
I'd say 1990. 9.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Hernandez, we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself?
I just thank you guys for your opportunity. Thank you for giving me this privilege. And I just tell you guys, you know, I won't ever embarrass myself or make you guys feel embarrassed. And I'm willing 100% to show everybody this, not only the state of Arizona, but I can be a productive citizen society.
Can I add one thing, if I could, before we conclude this?
Well, we're going to go into discussion, but it's got to come up here to the mic, sir.
As part of our agreement, as an employer, we belong to the IBEW, the 583 out of El Paso. We could have been one in Tucson, but they didn't want to do too many things with my company. I wasn't allowed. One of the main things is being employed by H&H Electrical. You have to pass a drug test. Your people that you're employed have to maintain zero tolerance on drug abuse. So Rafael Hernandez's employment with H&H Electrical, he will have to pass a drug test. So there is no ifs, ands, or buts, but that is some guidelines that the IBEW will not tolerate, and that's what we're part of. We're IBEW 583 out of El Paso. Just wanted to let you guys know that it won't be tolerated.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, so the board's going to go into discussion now. While the board's in discussion, Mr. Hernandez, I'm going to ask you to remain silent, but I need you to stay on the phone so you can hear the conversation taking place amongst the board, okay? We will make a decision whether to grant you parole or deny you parole, okay? The board's now going into discussion. This has been very interesting. Mr. Hernandez does have, I think he does have great family support. That's going to would be able to assist him. It was interesting that his wife, she knew him from the time that she was young, I think, according to the letter that I read, and that she first met him again and came across him when he was in prison and kind of strayed away and subsequently became friends, left DOC, and they got married, and I guess she said they've been married 8 years now. That they've actually been married. He has the family support. He does have in 2017, a refusal. Mr. Hernandez says he did do some hard drugs while he was in prison, but he's been smoking marijuana and he's getting away from that. This is an incident that occurred when he was 14 years old, and according to the pre-sentence report, as well as the information received from his father, Mr. Hernandez, he did move out here from California, and the pre-sentence report says that he got with this group after he moved out here from California, and Mr. Hernandez's dad says that they moved out here from Whittier to really try to find a better life for his kids because of things they may have been exposed to in Whittier, California, and he got out here and got involved in the wrong things. He did play ball and do things while he was in Whittier, but he came out here and got with the wrong group, and subsequently he got involved in this incident and got this felony murder case and has done 25 years he's been incarcerated. He has taken, you know, quite a bit of program. He did obtain his GED since he's been incarcerated. I just think in this particular instance, as we do look at all these cases, case by case, as we do go through it, I think the fact that he was 14 years old, that he hadn't been in much trouble, and that his family moved out here, that he got involved, that he does have the great family support, he does have a job that's looking for us out there, he does have three different locations. If one doesn't work out, that he can actually go and stay with, I believe one was his wife, another one was his mother and father, then I believe there was one more address that he had on file where he could stay at. I think that this young man was to get a break now and get out of home arrest, that I think that he would be a productive citizen out there and not be a threat to the community, and hopefully be a productive citizen and not get himself any trouble or get involved with the wrong crowd anymore. He was not the actual shooter in this event, however, he did have a weapon on him at the time, but the pre-sentence report also indicated that it was someone else who actually did the shooting. I am would be willing to try to give this young man a break based on the strong family support that he has here, that he has taken some educational program as well as college courses and obtained his GED since he's been incarcerated. I do think that he may have a drug problem that's going to have to be dealt with, but I think that his father, Mr. Robert Hernandez, is going to work and deal with that program if he's there. So in this particular instance, I think I would be supportive of Mr. Rafael Hernandez having home arrest. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I'm inclined to agree with you. This particular case is testing my own belief in looking at the whole. I am skeptical of discipline within the last few years, and it's been almost exactly 2 years, and we've asked a lot of questions about the drug issue. Certainly, we recognize that marijuana is available inside the Department of Corrections. But that's weighed against everything else as well. And I might, considering a lot of other red flags, look at that, and that might tip the scales for me, but I really do believe Mr. Hernandez shows a lot of promise in himself. It's got to be him first, in my opinion. But then the support he has within his family and work, and some of the kind of the enforcement that goes with that. And a big issue for me as well is just how young he was involved in the felony murder case. Certainly, I'm not forgetting that there was a victim and that this was a terrible crime, a terrible tragedy. But I'm open to a chance in this case. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I am having just a little bit of a different viewpoint. I feel like there's an evasiveness. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're not getting the whole story with regard to activity in California and whether that continues here. There was an additional incident at a Circle K, an armed robbery at a Circle K that is unexplained to me. And the continuing drug use in prison really does concern me, and in particular, and this is where I said evasiveness, the attempts to cover the drug tests, so the drug tests were not able to be processed. So those concern me, and I do acknowledge the family support. I know the family would be very supportive, but I don't know. It's so much of this job is reviewing the whole case, and I'm just not comfortable. I'm not comfortable at all with that. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
One more comment, Mr. Miller.
Well, Mr. Johnson, I must admit, I agree with our colleague, Honorable Ms. Cuthbert, Rittenhouse, and it's not clear to me. It's just not clear to me. Just what, 2 years, 3 years ago, he was caught doing something with drugs, and I don't know what it was. Well, he just put his family in there and turned what, but he had that write-up. And this court does not do trials. This is not a trial. This is not a court of law. Another thing that concerns me is that he was tried, and I don't want to use the word found, but I'm going to use my found guilty of murder first degree, not second degree murder, not attempted murder. The court found him, or the agreement was that he was first degree murder. And I think that, and if he had not had these recent, I might be just a little different. I might be willing to put aside the charge itself. But just a few years ago, according to Ames, and if Ames is wrong, Ames is wrong. But according to Ames, you know, it wasn't too long ago when he committed. Apparently, he had something to do with drugs. And I just can't overlook that. I mean, with all due respect, I know that he has a great family. He has a great family support. But we, as a board member, let me not use the word we, myself as a board member, I have to look out for the welfare of the citizens of the state of Arizona. And I'm not sure that this would be in the best interest of the state of Arizona at this time. Therefore, at this particular moment, unless I'm convinced otherwise, I'm not in favor.
I think that Mr. Hernandez can turn his life around. I think that he does have a good, strong family support. I tell you, I asked him a question about the drugs because that's the one thing that does bother me, that this refusal that he had in 2017. That he didn't take it. It's just been my experience. I can't say he didn't, I wasn't there, but with all of the refusals that he has, it just tends to show more of a stronger drug use that he has. And I think that's the problem that he has to be overcome, although it's been almost, let me see, this one in, he has one in August of 17. February of 2017, and then September of 16, and one of them where he just actually used something to just produce a different type of urine. Had one in 15 where he had a bag that he tried to use to put some liquid into the UA cup. I tell you, I'm probably more sympathetic with the family because I think he has great family support. I think his dad is very sincere in what he would happen to do. I'm just not real clear. I think the drug thing has me kind of puzzled right now, and what he said, and even his explanation that he's actually given that, you know, he does marijuana. After I asked him several times, he just said that he did marijuana. It's Mr. Quinones. I didn't ask the right question. Ask if he did any other drugs. He did say that he used some hard drugs. It's not unusual for us to find someone going to prison at a very young age and get hooked on drugs once they get in there. I mean, that's not unusual. We'd see that happen often, but that is something that he has to deal with in order to do it. And maybe if he would take some AA or NA classes or start to deal with that problem, I think he'd be much more productive. When he gets out, I like the family support. I like all of the support that he has from the family, but I would have to say that I'm a little bit baffled by that 2017 drug use and one in 16 that he actually had in his statement. I think that there's just some part of it that's not being honest about that portion of it. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to deny Mr. Hernandez regular parole home arrest at this time, and I'm not going to ask for a one-year setup. I'd like to see him come back in 6 months. Unless the board has some objection to that. That's going to be my motion.
I would like to see him clean for a year. I'm just speaking to one board, and I'm on behalf of the board. I would just like to see him clean for a year.
We'll go for a one-year setup. That will be my motion.
A second.
Motion by Ms. Neff, second by Mr. Rittenhouse. Mr. Rittenhouse, I'm sorry. Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal, Dr. Wright agree. Type of release denied is a 412A, 411 home arrest.
Mr. Johnson, I would agree. I just wanted to add that, just for the sake of the discussion, that I think these discussions are good because it really comes out of the wash, and I appreciate what my colleagues added today, so I do agree.
Yeah. Reason for the denial is that it was a serious and violent offense, the loss of human life. Here, since he's had those misuse, a history of continued substance abuse. Mark recent disciplinary infractions in there. I'm not gonna lie, I think he does have a good release plan. He does have strong family support. Anything else the board can please today? Okay, that is going to be the conclusion of the hearing at this time. Mr. Hernandez?
Yes, sir.
So the board has voted to deny you regular parole home arrest after you discharge at this time. We've also asked for a one-year set-off. You will be deemed by the Department of Correction and set in a date in about a year to come back before this board, sir. We hope that you can stay on your plan, sir, and not have any more infractions when you come back before this board, sir. And, sir, if you can take some NA or AA classes, get involved in something, sir, to help with that issue that you're having, whether it's marijuana or it's some other drug, but if you can just take some NA or AA classes, sir, I think that may help you out along with the other programs that you continue to take while you're incarcerated, okay? Thank you, Mr. Hernandez.
Thank you,
sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir. Put the CO3 back on the line. I do want to thank all the family for coming down and support. Appreciate you. You know, you've been here a long time and waiting, and you guys have safe travels on your way to California.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. Thank you.